that he's come all the way from Tennessee. We're expecting to give an honorarium. He so much wants to see you blessed and this church blessed that last night, if you were here, he turned right to us and said, I don't want a penny. Folks, let me tell you, if he was not pure, this would be about him getting the money. This pure man, he wants you to be so blessed with this revelation that he is saying, I don't want anything sowed to me, so that you understand the proper perception of the revelation that he's given. And I want you to open wide your spirit and your mind and receive and stand to your feet as we should and receive with a great, great applause at Fire and Glory Camp Meeting, our dear friend, Dr. James Payne.
You can be seated. I feel like the donkey that carried Jesus into Jerusalem. Everybody was giving him applause, but it was who was on that donkey that made the difference. The same one on that donkey is in this one. And he's anointed me to preach this gospel. And I am so honored to have friends like Dr. Brown and Miss Karen. My wife raises German shepherds. Not just German shepherds, I mean real German shepherds. In June, 10 German shepherds were invited to Westminster. One of them is hers. Yesterday, her female won everything at the show in Atlanta. Little Gypsy. And Dr. Brown and I were talking a couple of years back, I guess it was, maybe three now, and he was talking about he'd like to have a German Shepherd. So I made it a desire of mine to bless him with a German Shepherd. So I found one. Spent a few weeks with the German Shepherd and decided I wasn't going to give it to him. I fell in love with that dog. And I understand now, if I had not fell in love with the dog, the seed would not have been near as precious. As it was. I had to turn and walk away that day as they were driving out of my driveway with Titan. Who loves this man and would kill anybody in this building probably that tried to harm either one of them. But that was the greatest seed I think I've ever sown in my life. Because this man, I remember that time when he came to me in Des Moines. And he wasn't the only one struggling. I needed that $1,000 that he sowed into my life. But God's blessed both of our ministries tremendously. And as you were talking, I was thinking, you said, if God told me a year ago I was going to pastor, I almost had a heart attack. I thought, oh, God, don't do that to me. No. I'm not even going to get close to you. I don't want a pastor. I love pastors, but I don't want a pastor. Lord Jesus, I'd rather run the insane asylum. Could I have a little volume, please? Praise God. Hallelujah. I do thank God for pastors like Brother Don and Miss Brenda that put up with all you knuckleheads every week. I pastored for 11 years, and I left there and had a list in my Bible of people I was going to kill if I ever backslid. People think I'm kidding, but I still got that list in my file. Several of them have died since then. Thank God. Oh, they were saved. They're in heaven, but, you know. But I don't want a pastor. I love pastors, but I'm not one. I was an evangelist. I could draw a crowd. I just couldn't build a church. We started in my living room. We grew to 1,200. Had 18 staff people, 15 telecast. And I was the most miserable man. I used to resign every Sunday night. I'd go home. I'd go home and tell Ruby, I'm never going back again. After I preached on Sunday, I started dreading the next Sunday. I didn't even join Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday because I knew I had to preach on Sunday. I remember one time I was trying to get a sermon on Saturday night. Man, I prayed all week. God didn't say anything. And one of my elders invited me out to eat, and I normally didn't go on Saturday night. I said, man, I don't have nothing from God. I might as well go. We're going to a Chinese restaurant. I remember on the way there, I said, well, maybe there's something in the fortune cookie. And I opened the fortune cookie, and it was empty. It didn't even have a fortune in it. That's a true story. That's a true story. And how you like to get... go to bed on Saturday night knowing you got to preach to 1,200 people tomorrow and you don't have nothing to say. Yeah, that's the reason I don't like pastoring. See, as an evangelist, you can get a few sermons together and just travel and nobody's heard you at the next place. Even if it ain't God and God don't tell you, you can just grurt one out and preach it anyway. You know what I'm saying? Amen. I hadn't intended to sing tonight because I had preached this morning. I preached pretty hard. Somebody asked me if I would sing the song that I sung last night that Pastor Bruce Haynes and I just finished writing and I just finished recording. We don't have the backup vocals on it. We're going to put a real nice choir behind this song. But New Year's Eve in a church where I was preaching, they put the cross on the screen. They left it there for 30 minutes. In that 30 minutes, I wrote the first verse and the chorus to this song. And you know, we live in a culture where people pamper the flesh while they pollute the spirit. We live in a culture where human life is at an all-time low. We live in a culture where people don't realize how important they are to God. But you don't have to look any farther than Calvary to realize how much you mean to God. You don't have to look any farther than the cross to understand the price God paid for you and I to be here tonight and enjoy the blessings of the Lord. That's what this song talks about, is how much God loved us and how much we're worth. And if I can get this to work, then I'll do it for you. I don't have the words to explain amazing grace. I can't tell you why a king would take your place. He would come and die on that old tree. I don't have the answers, but listen while I say, the cross says it all. Says he can reach down farther than you could ever fall. Mercy will come running the minute that you call. So if the question is, does he really care? The cross says it all. Thank you. I don't understand why Jesus had to die. Why someone so perfect would become the sacrifice. Church, I can't comprehend that I was worth the price. But this one thing I know, He came to give me life. 'Cause the cross says it all. It says He can reach down farther than you could ever fall. It says mercy will come running the minute that you call. So if the question is, does He really care? The cross says it all. I may never understand, but this one thing I know, I trust those nail-scarred hands. 'Cause the cross says it all. It says He can reach down farther than you could ever fall. It says mercy will come running the minute that you call. So if the question is, does He really care? The cross, the cross says it all. Does He really care? Oh, the cross. Oh, the cross says it all. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I messed up a few words, but hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Dan. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. What's that? Oh, yeah. I already, yeah. That's on my agenda. Thank you for confirming that. I'm going to send that to Brother Swaggart. I wrote a couple of songs Brother Swaggart recorded. If you ever heard His Blood Still Sets Men Free, I wrote that song for Brother Swaggart. His choir does one I wrote for Mike Perkey. One day I was home. I'll tell you a funny story. I was home. I was listening to Brother Swaggart's choir sing. And they were singing this song. And they sung it about three times. And I said, I've heard that song. When they sung it the fourth time, I said, I wrote that song. It's called The Good News Is The Bad News Was Wrong. And I also wrote another one that they did called The Cloud He's Coming Back On. And that was a very big song for us, but still amazes me that God could take an old burnout drug addict that didn't even have his right mind, alcoholic, save him, deliver him, set him free, and then over 3,000 songs have flowed out of my life, 77 number one songs I've written over the time that I've been a Christian. It just amazes me that God could do that. So if the devil tells you God can't use you, tell him he's a liar. I don't even talk to the devil anymore. My wife bought me a cross. I wear it around my neck. When the devil says something, I don't let him answer him. I just take this cross and point at it. Cross says it all. Cross says it all. Amen. Praise God. If you wouldn't mind standing one more time and having a word of prayer with me. I don't know if I've ever told this publicly or not, but almost 8 years ago now, my wife of 47 years passed away, and my world stopped turning, and I thought my life was over, and all I could do for several weeks was just walk and cry, I'd preach, go back to the hotel, and cry myself to sleep that night. I thought my life was over. She was there the night I was born again. She was there with me when God filled both of us with the Holy Ghost. She was there when she gave birth to our two sons who loved God. My youngest son's a lot better preacher than me. And when something like that's taken out of your life, you want to give up. And while I was out crying, the Lord spoke to me and he said, number one, stop crying or your tears are going to wash away your faith. The second thing he said to me, don't bury your destiny in the ashes of your adversity. He said, I have a plan for your recovery. And then he said something real strange to me, and I'm going to pray. Please don't get impatient. I know I hate preachers that make you stand up a long time. But he asked me if I remembered the first piece of real estate that Abraham owned after he promised him the promised land. And I said, yes, sir, it was Sarah's grave. He said, in Sarah's grave, Abraham planted his greatest seed. He said, Ruby was your seed. And now that you've sown her, I'm going to teach you about seed time and harvest, and I'm going to take your ministry to a level that it's never been to before. When you pray for people, their finances are going to change. So I began almost an 8-year study on the seed, and I have a text on my phone from Richard Roberts who texts me and told me that after he heard me preach, he thought that was the greatest message he ever heard on seed time and harvest. And that was very humbling to read, but thank God, Brother Mike Murdoch said on television, and Brother Murdoch has a great revelation of not just seed, but everything. He told me he thought I had the greatest revelation of seed time and harvest of any man living on the planet today. Pastor Benny Hinn said the same thing. Dr. Brown, who I respect highly, says that, I don't boast in that. I just thank God for giving me something to help the body of Christ. Amen. So, Father, I pray tonight that we will resemble you, Lord, as we minister the gospel, that our heart will remain pure. And, Lord, that you will not just cause wealth to get to us, but you'll help us to get wealth through us so that it can be a blessing to the body of Christ. And I give you praise tonight, Lord, for letting me be a small part of a large kingdom. Now, Lord, let the anointing flow tonight and let things change in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you give the hand of praise to the Lord before you sit down? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, things are about to change. Say it again. Things are about to change. You can be seated. You know, just because a man puts on a pair of overalls and buys a tractor, don't make him a farmer. Just because he walks through the field does not make him a farmer. Until he sows a seed, he's not considered a farmer. Why are you saying that? Because up till this point, he is imitating a farmer. When he sows a seed, he's demonstrating a farmer. There's too many imitators in the pulpit and the pew that are imitating sowers. I know this is the last night, but I didn't know you was going to be this quiet. There are believers, and then there's make-believers. Your seed is what separates you from the make-believers. Your seed is what qualifies you as a believer. When you came to Jesus, you had to give him your life. When you gave him his life, your life, he gave you his spirit. You see. And then as you give your testimony, you give birth to others. Seed time and harvest. Matthew chapter 13 is where Jesus began to teach on the seed. And he said, a sower went forth to sow. Sower, sow. When you see people sowing, they're a sower. When you see people bring an empty envelope, they're an imitator. They're trying to look good, but there's not anything in it. When you see people say, I'll do this, and then they don't do it, they're an imitator. Just because you talk about farming, don't call you a farmer. You ain't never raised nothing. You had never multiplied nothing. God only created seed one time. He became the Lord of the harvest, and he gave man the seed and told him to till the ground, and he became the Lord of the seed. You can't pray your way into a harvest. Well, I prayed and God met my house note. That was a miracle. It was not a harvest. And what's wrong with the Pentecostal, full gospel, charismatic, whatever you call yourself, church, is you live from one miracle to another. You're in everybody's prayer line trying to get a breakthrough financially. Because one time you prayed and somebody prayed for you and you got a miracle, and the next time you didn't get a miracle, so you're mad at God. And you tell everybody this don't work. What would you think about a farmer that sowed 3 years ago and walked out in that field every year expecting a harvest? I know God can do that. Sure, God can do that, but he won't do that because he won't violate principle. I'm going to tell you something. If you don't get anything else out of what I say, if you do not sow, you do not reap. You can't praise your way into a harvest. You can't shout your way into a harvest. You can't dance your way into the harvest. Come on. You can't testify your way into the harvest. You can't prophesy your way into a harvest. You got to sow your way into the harvest. And if you don't like this, the crop that you got, you got to change your seed. If you don't like your financial status, then honey, I got news for you. You got to do something different. You got to sow a different seed. You got to start demonstrating what the Word of God said if you want a different harvest. Lady came up today wanting prayer at the end of the service. She had a financial need. I said, do you tithe? No. Do you give? No. I said, God bless you. No reason me waste my time laying a hand on an empty head. I'm anointing you with oil. You've already been anointed so much. You got oily skin. They call you Sister Fall Down and Brother Fall Out in the church, but you still broke. You still disgusted. You still just barely getting by. You still mad at God. You still criticizing preachers like me that preach on seed time and harvest. Honey, I'm here to help you. I'm not trying to get something from you. I gave the honorarium back. This heart is pure. I'm here for your sake. I'm not here for my sake. You want a different harvest? Sow a different seed. But Brother Payne, you don't know what a tough time I'm having. I'm glad you said that. Because tonight I'm going to give you five reasons you sow in tough times. There's never a time in your life when you shouldn't sow. And there's never a day in your life when you don't have seed. Some of you miss that. There's never a day in your life that you shouldn't sow, and never a day in your life that you don't have seed. I hear all these critics on the news media criticize Brother Kenneth Copeland. Because his ministry is almost at $1 billion status. And secular world can't handle that. They want to criticize Brother Copeland. But you see, they were not in Tulsa when Brother Oral Roberts was preaching. And Brother Ken Copeland only had an ink pen to put in the offering. But he made that ink pen his seed. My God. I said he made that ink pen his seed. And look what God did. I said, look what God did. God saw a heart. He saw somebody he could trust. God has no problem getting it to you. God's problem is getting it through you. You start out as a channel, but then you become a reservoir. And you walk around somebody and say, how are you? You say, I'm blessed. Well, God bless you for being blessed, but God didn't bless you so you could be blessed. God blessed you so you could be a blessing. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4 through 6 says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow. And he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Why didn't he reap? The wind kept him from sowing. The clouds came to give rain, but he didn't have anything to rain on. Because he watched the wind. Thou knowest what is the way of the Spirit. How the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. Even so thou knowest not the works of God who makes all. In the morning sow thy seed. And in the evening withhold not thine all. In other words, you're supposed to give more at night than you do in the morning. In the morning sow thy seed. In the evening withhold not thy hand. For those... thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, whether they both shall be alike good. Now, when Jesus started teaching in Matthew 13 about seed time and harvest, he said, every seed don't bring a harvest. You remember those birds he talked about in Matthew 6 where he said, they don't sow or reap? Well, now we find them in the 13th chapter stealing the seed. And that's true in the life of a Christian. You live off the blessing of somebody else. These birds are eating seed that a sower sowed. Some of your seeds the bird's going to get. Then the sower, after he sowed by the wayside, he sowed in stony ground. And the stones got some. And then he sowed in the thorns, and the thorns got some. But you know what the sower didn't do? He didn't quit sowing. Just because you sowed in 1973 and nothing happened don't mean that you shouldn't keep sowing in 2021. See, the sower kept sowing until he got to the good ground. You see, some of you sowed two or three times and nothing happened. And you know, and now you're all mad because nothing happened. Listen, you just got to keep on sowing. We don't know when that next harvest, oh my God, when that next seed is going to break something loose in our life. You know, I was in debt all my life. I was a sower. I sowed, but I got deeper in debt. I was $1.2 million in debt, $247,000 in ministry debt, and $670,000 in ministry debt, or $767,000 in ministry debt. And I sowed every service. I sowed. But one day I was in Chicago, and the Lord spoke to me to sow a $1,000 seed I didn't have. I took a card. I put my real name and address on it, and I sowed that $1,000. I said, God, when I get it, I will send it. The very next week, God gave it to me, and the first thing I thought about was buying me a new suit with that $1,000. Because I'd made a commitment that I wasn't going to buy another suit until I had the money to pay cash for it, and you can read through the one I was wearing. The moment I said, I'm going to go buy me a suit, the Holy Ghost said, you better get that $1,000 in the mail. I sent that $1,000 to Chicago, and 34 years now, I've been debt-free in my ministry. I've been debt-free in my life. My God, that was the seed. That was the moment. That was the time when God broke everything loose. I don't care if you sowed in every service of this camp meeting. If God speaks to you tonight, you better sow your seed. I got to hurry. I'm about through with my introduction. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your substance. What is your substance? It's your money. I know somebody thinks that's an unpardonable sin to say money in church. But there's a story in Genesis 26, and for the sake of time, I won't read it all. But let me tell you, it was a time of famine. See, some of you don't know anything about famine. Famine comes because there's no rain. The farmer could sow the seed, but without the rain, he doesn't have anything. In the spring, how many of you know in the spring when it starts raining, it rains more than we really like. But what you don't understand, that elements in that rain that repairs the soil from the last harvest. See, the last harvest took the nutrients out of the soil. And so this spring rain brings that nutrients back into that soil. So when you put that seed in that soil, it activates that seed. You get that? You got that? But you see, in the spirit realm, you got to have the water of the Holy Spirit on your seed. You see, after you sow that seed, take your checkbook, walk around the house talking in tongues. After you sow that seed, walk around the house praising God. Thank you, Lord, the harvest is coming. Thank you, Lord, this is going to be the biggest harvest I ever had. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody got a hold of something right there. Somebody found out their problem right there. Thank you, Jesus. The harvest is on the way. Devil, you're a liar. It's coming in. Oh, I had some little magnets. You know what a magnet is? I had some of those made, and I put on the front of it, money magnet, and I put them on my refrigerator. And I put money under it, and I said, money is coming to me. Money's coming to me. Praise God. Well, some of you, I want money. God told me to open up my left pocket years ago. First check that was in my left pocket was $10,000. I keep my seeds in my left pocket. I carry them with me everywhere I go. Every suit. Dry cleaner the other day asked me if I was a farmer. Amen. And tonight during the service, somebody walked up and put some more seed in my left pocket. I didn't have to ask for it. They just walked up, you know, they just walked. I track money. See, some of y'all, God told y'all to do it, but you didn't do it because you know my left pocket's always open. Come on. I mean, that's all right. I don't need anything, but you need to obey God. Thank God for this man that did. I got seed in my pocket now, along with my seed. Praise God. Hallelujah. And there was this famine in Genesis 26 because there had been no rain. What was going to change the situation was there's this guy that don't look at the elements. He don't consider the fact that it hadn't rained. He's just going to sow anyway. Because he's a child of promise. He's the son of Abraham who God said, I'll bless you coming in, going out, rising up, laying down in the city, in the field. Everybody that blesses you, I'll bless them. Come on. He had a promise of a covenant, and he was going to implement that covenant promise with his seed. Oh, you ought to be shouting, you know, because when Jesus came to die, according to Galatians 3:28, we became heirs and to the promise that God made to Abraham. So I don't care how dry it's been. Amen. I don't care what kind of season you've been through. Your seed, bless heaven and heart, is going to change things. Your seed will activate the promise of your covenant. My God, I just said something. Your seed will activate the promise of your covenant. It hadn't rained until Isaac sowed. See, people overlook the fact that he got rain. Because if he had just sown with no rain, he wouldn't have got a harvest. He not only saved himself, he saved the whole country by sowing. Because when he sowed, God opened the heaven. And the Bible said in that year, he got 100-fold. Does it say that? Does it say he got 100-fold? Why? He sowed. Isn't it about time you quit crying and started sowing? Isn't it about time you quit complaining and started sowing? Isn't it about time you quit blaming the government and started sowing? Isn't it about time you quit blaming the Democrats and started sowing? Come on. Somebody said the other day, I don't know what we're going to do. Democrats in there, gas going up. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy it. I don't care if it gets $10 a gallon. I'm going to fill up every one of my cars. You know why? I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. I said, I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm going to be blessed if gas is $20 a gallon. I'm going to be blessed. Hallelujah. I'm not going to sit around and hold my money. I'm going to keep sowing. You got to keep sowing. When the birds get some and the stones get some and the thorns get some. If you keep sowing, you'll hit that good ground. And the least you're going to get is 30-fold. I don't get 30-fold. I always get 100-fold. Praise God. I remember we had a gathering of eagles, and if y'all have never been to gathering of eagles, you ought to do like Miss Brenda said. You ought to make your plans right now. Last week in October, you ought to come to the chateau there in Branson for gathering of eagles. We were there, and Brother Mike, it was his 50th anniversary in the ministry. Is that right? Well, the Lord had already spoken to me the day before to receive an offering for Brother Mike, and he already told me to give $5,000. And it was one of those times when it wasn't a convenient time to give $5,000. How many of you know that? It wasn't a convenient time. But it's not a convenient time for me to give you my honorarium back. I'm $55,000 behind on my budget right now. How am I going to get $55,000? I'm going to give my honorarium back. I'm going to sow. I'm going to sow until I hit the mother load. I'm going to sow until God talks to somebody. I'm going to sow until I get a $100,000 check through the mail. I'm going to sow until somebody walks up and sticks something in this left pocket that meets every need that I have. I'm not going to give in. I'm going to keep on sowing. Ah, hallelujah. I said, I'm going to keep on sowing. Brother Mike didn't know this, but one of the men there, I sowed that $5,000 that night. And one of the men walked up to me. He said, I passed you in the hall this morning. And when I passed you, God told me to give you $5,000. And he handed me a $5,000 check. When he did that, people lined up. They didn't know what was going on. They just lined up with money in their hand. Started stuffing it in my left pocket. That's the truth, isn't it, Brother Mike? I mean, that's the truth. And God bless Brother Mike because he blessed so many. This is a sower right here. Here's what the Lord said to me the other day. He said, never sow in people that aren't sowers. This is powerful right here, what I'm getting ready to say. You see, if I sow my seed into you and you don't sow it, my harvest stops with you. But if I sow it in Brother Mike, and Brother Mike sows it in this missionary over here in India, and this missionary sows it into all these people he's ministering to, guess what? I'm over here in America, but my seed's over there multiplying around the world. My God, you need to get a hold of the seed principle. Don't sow in people that aren't sowers. I only have so many seeds to sow, so I got to sow them in the right place. Why do I give an honorarium back to Brother Don? He's a sower. After I leave here, he's going to sow in people. Just recently down in, I forget the country you were at. You were down there ministering, sowing in people. I was down there with you. Last year's Fire and Glory offering was down there with you, Pastor. I didn't get on the plane with you. I didn't go down there, but I was down there with you. My fingerprints on every life you touched down there because of my seed. I said my fingerprints on every life he touched because of my seed. My seed just signed a contract for the next Fire and Glory conference. If I don't get to come next year, I'll still be here. My seed will represent me. I said my seed will represent me. And you thought it was just about you. It's not just about you. Some of you that don't give like God wants you to give, you've never experienced the joy of what your seed accomplishes. We just put a roof on a missionary's house down in Ghana who'd been trying to get a roof for 10 years. We just put a roof on that house. When they sent me the picture of the wood going up, I got excited. But last night after I preached, I had another picture on my phone. The roof was completed. The roof was completed this week. That man and his family, for the first time in 10 years, are under a roof. That's what a seed will do. I said, that's what a seed will do. Isaac's seed changed the city. People were dying from starvation until he sowed, and then it started to rain. He's not the only one that got a harvest. He was demonstrating the word of God. I got to give you these five things. Number one, there's no basis for expectancy until a seed is released. Wouldn't it be something if you walked out in a field and here stood a farmer in overalls and you say, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm waiting on the harvest. Yeah. Well, when did you sow it? Oh, I hadn't sowed it. We'd get that guy, put him in a white coat, take him somewhere where he could get some help. But we come back to church with people just like him. Ain't sowed nothing. Getting in everybody's line for prayer to get a harvest, and they ain't sowed nothing. I'm just kind of waiting till the roar. I can't hear myself over all this shouting tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, there's no basis for expectancy until a seed has been sown. You see, this package of seeds here, you know, when I sow that, in 80 days, I expect tomatoes. Did you know I sowed tomatoes, I guess about 25 days ago, and I've got tomatoes on my plant now. But I'm expecting more because I sowed them. Are you getting this? There's no basis for expectancy till you release a seed. I'm expecting a harvest. I got seed in the ground. I got seed in the ground. This is cucumbers. This other package of seeds, cucumbers. I carry it because I got one that I like and one that I don't. I don't like cucumbers. Like pickles, but I don't like cucumbers. But you can't have pickles without cucumbers. And you know, everybody can't make pickles. Brother Mike, one year Ruby thought she could make pickles. They taste like kerosene. You know, and she made a bunch of them. I had to eat all of them. It tastes horrible. You know, I'd eat one sticking on the table. I mean, it was horrible. Turn you against pickles. I love her. She's in heaven. She's probably laughing right now. But it's the truth. I gave away pickles. I hid pickles. So I carry this. I don't want cucumbers. I don't like cucumbers. So I don't sow cucumbers. You know, you always sow according to your appetite. If you've got an appetite to gratify your flesh, that's where you'll sow. That's the reason you'll buy a car that you don't really need because they change the color. You know, and you'll go in debt for 72 months on a car, and you wouldn't make a vow to God to give him $1,000 in 12 months because your appetite is to satisfy you, not Jesus. Your appetite is to satisfy you, not the kingdom. And your appetite for you has messed you up because you've spent money you didn't have to buy things you don't need to impress people you don't know. So don't get in my line and ask me to pray for you if you ain't sowed. You can get mad at me all you want to. I'm not going to pray for you and waste my time and yours and God's. I'll pray for a miracle, but I'm not going to pray for a harvest. Number two, if you don't sow in tough times, you don't reap in good times. If you don't sow in tough times, you don't reap in good times. Now, I wish I had somebody's outline to go by, but this is things God's given me in prayer. If you don't sow when things are tough, then you won't reap when things are better. Things will get better, but guess what? You'll be right in the best of times with nothing. And you'll be mad because everybody else is being blessed but you. That's why I don't pastor. Amen. If your seed remains in your hand, your harvest remains in God's hand. God orchestrates your harvest, but your seed initiates your harvest. Every battle in life is won or lost by a seed. A seed turns a situation. God will do nothing until I do something. A seed can rewrite your history and activate your destiny. Seeds are not moved by who's in the White House or who's in your house. The seed don't know what the stock exchange closed with on Friday. Doesn't care. This corn right here, it didn't wake me up last night asking me what I thought about the Senate. This seed didn't ask me what I thought about all the people that criticize me for what I preach. See, all this seed is waiting for is for me to put it in the ground so it can feel its destiny of corn. And all that seed in your checking account and all your savings account and all that, all it's waiting for is for you to put it in the kingdom so it can do what God sent it on this earth to do, and that's to multiply and touch people's lives for the glory of God. How many of you got a checking account? How many of you got a savings account? Did you know you can bounce checks all over town and have money in your savings account? Because your bank will not transfer money out of your savings account into your checking account without your permission. Hang out with me, man. I'm going somewhere. You have to give the bank permission to transfer money to you to pay your bills, to keep your checks from bouncing. Your check authorizes God, gives him permission. See, God, the blessings of God are not automatic. You have to give God permission to bless you. If you don't believe it, read 2 Corinthians chapter 9, what Paul said. Seed activates grace. Seed activates favor so that you reach a place, according to what Paul told the Corinthian church during an offering, ladies and gentlemen. This was teaching during an offering. He said your seed initiates grace, authorizes favor to bring you to a place where you can be generous on every occasion and where you will have need of nothing. My God, that's what the Word of God said. Your seed authorizes God to bring you to the place where every time they have an offering, you can be generous. It brings you to the place where you will have more than you ever need to do everything you want to do in your life. Your seed authorizes God to bless you like that. If you don't sow in tough times, you won't reap in good times. Now, let me hurry. I got three more. Three more. Number three, seeds defy world conditions. See, when God gave me the word seedonomics, he let me know that the world operates by economics, but the kingdom operates by seedonomics. Jesus didn't teach economics. He taught seedonomics. You remember the feeding of the 5,000. You remember Philip came to Jesus with an economic solution to the problem. He said, we got 200 penny worth of buy 200 penny worth of bread and give everybody a little. That's economics. Economics will keep you broke. How many of you said you had a savings account? Isn't it embarrassing the interest they pay you? It's less than 1%. Where the least you're going to get in the kingdom is 30-fold. Multiply. I sowed a seed right here in this service last night, and it was multiplied 20 times today. 20 times today. Just today. 20 times today. So, there's a lady down in Tyler, Texas. She runs a real estate company. She heard me preaching this. She's getting ready to close her real estate office. She'd been a broker for 15 years in the Tyler, Texas area. She heard me preach this. She came and planted a seed. She opened up four more real estate offices right after she planted that seed. You see, she defied conditions with her seed. She said, I'm not giving in to people not buying homes in this area. She said, if somebody's going to sell homes, I am. And she gave that seed, and God got in her business, and people started buying houses from her. She's a wealthy woman today because of seedonomics defying economics. In 387 BC, Aristotle introduced economics, which simply defined is supply and demand. And ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. If you've not heard anything else, there's getting ready to be a food shortage. We have less than 2 million farmers left in the U.S. right now. We lost 200,000 farmers during the pandemic. If you notice, when you go to Walmart or your grocery store now, the shelves are not stocked like they used to be. There's going to be a food shortage shortly. Mark it down. Remember, I said it. They already have COVID-22 and COVID-25 ready to introduce to society as I stand here and speak, and we have documentation to prove it. Because the wealth of this world is contained, 50% of the world's wealth is controlled by 8 people. You go on your internet, you can find the name of all those 8 people that control 50% of the world's wealth. They are now taking that world and wealth and meeting with world leaders to bankrupt and destroy the U.S., to lead us to one world government, one world religion, and one world monetary system, which will not be the currency in your hand. In Nashville, where I live, most of the stores there no longer accept cash. When I'm traveling on the road now, the hotels in their little grocery area will not take cash. Airplanes no longer will take cash on the airplane. We're moving toward a cashless society. You better get a hold of what this preacher is preaching to you tonight. You better get into Seedonomics. You know why? Because in Seedonomics, God knows where the widow's got one meal left, and he's able to multiply the meal and feed her through the famine. Come on. God knows where a man of God is that'll sow in a famine, and he can give him 100-fold. God knows where the sowers are, and the sowers are going to go right on through. Come on. I said the sowers are going to go right on through. The sowers are... Seeds defy world condition. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm preaching much harder than I figured I would tonight. Brother Mike's inspiring me. Number 4. When you sow in tough times, your faith is magnified. Did you hear what I said? When you sow in tough times, your faith is magnified. You see, if all you've got is $100 and the guy beside you's got $2,000 and both of you sow $100, which one's faith was magnified? How many of you ever have had the Lord when you were just, I mean, you were running on empty? And the Lord said, I want you to do this. And you did it. And you couldn't believe how quick God moved. It's because your faith was magnified in that tough time. Here's what the Lord said to me. I determine faith not by what leaves your hand. I determine faith by what's left in your pocket. So if you give 100 and you got 5,000, it doesn't take a lot of faith to do that. But if you give 1,000, that's all you got. That's faith. You understand? Faith is magnified. And what pleases God, if you hadn't read this, in Hebrews 11:6, it says, for without... Why do Pentecostals think it's praise? I love praise. Y'all got one of the best praisers here in this church to lead us in praise. I thank God for praise. And you know, if man had never sinned, they wouldn't have been preaching, but they would have been praised. Preaching is a secondary consequence of sin. Praise will always be here as we magnify the Lord. Come on. Come on. And I see a lot of churches, and I go to those churches, and they say, let's hurry up and get the praise out of the way so we can get to the most important part. And I say, listen, we are at the most important part. Because if there hadn't been sin, it wouldn't have been preaching, but there'd always been praise. Because man was created to praise God. And while I wish praise would bring you a harvest, it won't. Praise will bring you God's presence. Praise will bring you God's power. But praise won't bring you a harvest. If it would, all these praisers would be millionaires. You see, I can't praise like Miss Brenda. I can't preach like Dr. Brown. You know, I can't sing like some of y'all, but honey, you're going to have to get up early to outgive me. See, the ground's level at the offering. Come on, it doesn't matter if you got long hair or no hair. Come on, the seed don't know the difference. It don't matter if you're fat or skinny. It don't matter if you're black or white or Asian or Hispanic. The seed don't know the difference. Come on, amen. The ground's level at the offering. We can all get a blessing. I said we can all get a blessing. I said we can all get a blessing with a seed. We can all move God's hand with a seed. Oh, I said we can all move God's hand with a seed. Oh, praise his holy name. Cool. Now I feel the Holy Ghost. Warm my hand up. Praise God. Hallelujah.